Today's scripture reading comes from Colossians 3, verse 25, through Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven.
Good morning. Before we go into our message, let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Holy Father, we now humbly draw near to you in fellowship through your word. Holy, confessing that our only access to you is the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Holy Father, we pray, not with an attitude of self-sufficiency or of worldly pride, but with an attitude of complete dependence upon what you have accomplished for us, for our redemption through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We pray, Lord God, that we would now receive your word as you have revealed it to us today. For it is not the word of man, but it is your word, the Holy Scriptures. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to remind everyone that we are continuing with our series in Colossians, picking up where we left off last week in the third chapter of this epistle, moving on to verse 25 of chapter 3 to verse 1 of chapter 4. So for those of us who are not familiar, or it's maybe the first time we're here today, we are going through the entire book of Colossians verse by verse. We started this series last year in 2023, and we are still going through this wonderful epistle verse by verse. So the section of Colossians that we are now looking to study this Sunday together is what we have before us today, Colossians 3, 25 to Colossians 4, verse 1. So as a reminder, this section of Colossians that we're working through deals with answering how we, as believers, are to carry out in the workplace Christ's command in verse 17 of Colossians 3. What is that command? We've gone over it multiple times over the past month or so. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. As Christians, we believe in the name of our Lord Jesus, which refers to the truth about him. And if you remember, the truth about him is summed up in one word. And that word is Lord. So how do we recognize Christ's lordship in the workplace? Last week's text addressed this question from the standpoint of workers, Christian workers. So let's go back and look over last week's text, Colossians 3, 22 to 24. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Now, of course, it goes without saying that none of us are actual bond servants with earthly masters. The servitude of the ancient Greco-Roman world is an artifact of the past. But as we pointed out last week, passages such as the one that we're looking at that we looked at last week, which were originally addressed The bondservants are, in fact, applicable to the employee-employer relationship of today. We're not under the authority of earthly masters, but many of us are under the authority of earthly bosses. And as last week's text makes clear, our work as believers is meant to be done in service to our heavenly master, Jesus Christ. So these instructions originally addressed to bondservants is still applicable to Christians in the modern day workplace. Ultimately, our employment and occupation, whatever it happens to be, is for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has given us our jobs as an opportunity to serve Him for the purpose of glorifying His name. And so that was the theme of last week's message. Today's text now addresses our Lord's will for those who are in positions of authority in the workplace. Business owners, supervisors, bosses, all who are in positions of authority in the workplace, what is our Lord's will for us in the workplace? And the answer to that question is in verse 1 of our text. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So before we address what verse 1 means, let's backtrack to verse 25 and address why verse 1 was a non-negotiable for Christian masters. Why must we, those of us in positions of authority at work, treat our workers justly and fairly? The answer, backtracking to verse 25, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Why must we treat our workers justly and fairly? Because failure to do so will result in the Lord's recompense. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. This warning applies equally to workers and to bosses. Workers in the Lord. We can be wrongdoers in the workplace in many ways. Through the slandering of our co-workers, to get a leg up on them, by lying about our level of experience, accomplishments, education, in order to inflate our resume, by embezzling workplace resources for our own personal use, or by ridiculing our co-workers for their good work and encouraging a derelict attitude in the workplace. But most commonly, believers become wrongdoers at work when they do the very thing forbidden by our Lord in last week's text. And what was that? Working insincerely as eye service to their bosses? When he's around, work hard. When he's not around, time to slack off. And by doing our work half-heartedly, without regard for glorifying our Lord through our work. Workers in the Lord, if this is the way we go about our work, verse 25 of Colossians 3 warns us that we will be paid back for it. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, with heart, As for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you are serving the Lord Christ. And here's the warning for the workers. It's also a warning for the bosses too. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there's no partiality. As we pointed out last week, our work in the workplace is incredibly important. It's not just about making paper, as people are prone to say today. How we work will impact how the unbelieving will perceive our Lord and His gospel. When believers have a shoddy, irresponsible work ethic, it will provoke the unbelieving who see it to scorn the gospel and dismiss it as nothing but empty talk. It will scandalize Christ's name as our clients and customers are ripped off by our inferior work. It will scandalize Christ's name as our co-workers and supervisors resent us for having to constantly cover for our mistakes. Therefore, treating our work carelessly is not only wronging people, but also sinning against our Lord. The glory of His name is at stake by the way we work. And so for this reason, our Lord warns believers against treating their work carelessly. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. What form does the Lord's recompense, or should we say payback, because that's what it says, will be paid back. What form does that take when believers are wrongdoers in the workplace? Well, the most obvious answer that comes to mind would be job loss. But beyond that, we may find our next job to be unusually difficult. Or we may find it exceptionally challenging to find a new job. Or if we're able to keep our position, we may face extraordinary difficulty and adversity in the workplace as we suffer the distrust of our boss and the dislike of our co-workers. Or we may suffer the Lord's discipline in some other area of our lives unrelated to our work. Whatever that recompense, whatever form it may take, I say, best not to find out. Out of a desire to glorify our Lord, and out of fear of His recompense, believers ought to consider their work to be service to Christ and work sincerely and heartily for His glory. Again, this was the theme that we went over last week. But again, the warning of verse 25 of today's text not only applies to workers, but also applies to those who are in positions of authority. You see that word there at the end of verse 25? For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. There's no partiality. No partiality. It applies just as much to the worker as it does to the boss. If we are believers who possess authority in the workplace and we choose to misuse it and abuse it, we will also pay the price for it. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. The Lord's will for those of us who are bosses in the workplace is to be always mindful of our own heavenly boss. our Master in heaven. He's watching how we deal with our workers to see if we are treating them justly and fairly. And we know that all too often, bosses and people who are in authority in the workplace don't do that. Bosses are sometimes guilty of favoritism in the workplace. For arbitrary reasons, unrelated to work performance, they treat some workers indulgently. They're so easygoing on them. While being harsh and overbearing towards other workers. That's not fair. That's not just. How many business owners overwork their employees, given what they're paid? And yet, for all their demands, they're so inflexible, unaccommodating when personal issues and needs arise in their workers. They treat their workers like a cog in a machine. Not like human beings who have their own needs and struggles. Higher-ups in the workplace sometimes see their position as a license. To treat their subordinates arrogantly. To lord it over them. To treat them like peons. Talking down on them. Bullying them. Treating them disrespectfully. Bosses, owners, supervisors in the Lord, what will the unbelieving think of Christ when they see the way we mistreat our workers? What will our own workers think of the Lord when we mistreat them? They'll just see it as an opportunity to revile our Lord and deride His gospel. They'll see it as a confirmation of their prejudice against the faith we profess. Just as how we work in the workplace will impact how people perceive Christ and His gospel, so too will how we exercise our authority in the workplace impact how people perceive Christ and His gospel. And that is why, servants of Christ, if we insist on mistreating our workers and abusing our authority over them, we will not get away with it. Our Lord shows no partiality. As we read in verse 25 of today's text, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. There's no partiality. Just because we're so high up on the hierarchy at our workplace doesn't mean that the Lord is in any way partial to us when it comes to His discipline. And so what form does that discipline take when it comes to believers who abuse their authority? Demotion, loss of position, poor business, failed business. These are all possible ways the Lord's recompense may come. Like any other form of suffering, these kind of setbacks are not always a result of the Lord's discipline. There are many reasons why the Lord permits the suffering of his people. Discipline is only one of those reasons. But if we are believers and we are perpetuating unjust and unfair treatment of our subordinates, our text for today warns us that we should expect to face the Lord's discipline. We may think, well, I see plenty of other people getting away with it, getting away with taking advantage of their workers. Well, why can't I? And the simple answer to that question is because you are a child of God. And God treats you differently because you are his child. It says in Scripture that if we are without discipline, we are illegitimate children. The Lord's discipline of us is a mark of our adoption, that we are truly children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So they may get away with it, at least for now, but they won't ultimately get away with it because they're going to face God's judgment in the life to come. But we certainly cannot get away with it in this life because our Lord is watching us and treats us differently than he treats the unbelieving. So bosses in the Lord, out of a desire to glorify Christ Jesus and out of fear of his recompense, consider our position and authority to be service to him and treat our workers justly and fairly. In fact, remember from last week, the attitude workers were taught to approach their work. We looked at that passage in Ephesians 6, verse 5. I'm going to read it one more time for us because it applies to not only the workers but to the masters, or in today's terminology, bosses, supervisors, employers, business owners. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling, remember that word or that phrase. With a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this you will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Much as in Colossians 3, if you remember, here also in Ephesians 6, workers are taught to do their work, whatever it may be, sincerely and heartily with the heart for the Lord's glory. Now, as Scripture turns its attention to masters, what are they taught? Well, in fact, they're taught in the very next verse to do the same thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9. Masters, do the same to them and stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. See what it says in verse 9? It says, do the same to them. Who? To our workers, to our subordinates. Present day masters, authorities in the workplace, supervise our subordinates for the glory of the Lord. Serve our Lord by treating our subordinates justly and fairly. And we read on in verse 9 of Ephesians 6, and stop your threatening. That's the Lord's will for us as authorities in the workplace. Stop your threatening. Sometimes when my little daughter's really getting out of hand, I'll give her that look. We parents know that, right? That give her that look. I'm sending her a message. Watch out. You're pushing it. What is that? That's threatening. Don't do that to our workers. Don't glare at them. They're not our kids. We can glare at our kids. Our workers are not our kids. Don't threaten them. Don't glare at them. Don't mutter at them under our breath. Goes without saying, don't we dare mutter profanities at them. Don't speak to them harshly. Don't resort to intimidation. Stop your threatening. That's the Lord's will. That's how we please Him in the workplace. That's how we obey Him. Even when we need to confront our workers about something, never do it with a threatening attitude. Be courteous at all times. Be respectful towards our workers, no matter where they are in the hierarchy. Be respectful towards them at all times. Whether they're an intern or they've been working at our company for 25 years, there's no excuse for threatening any of them. And our Lord forbids it. By the way, we exercise our authority and treat our workers. We can either glorify or scandalize the name of our Lord. Therefore, in the same way workers are taught to carry out their responsibility with fear and trembling, so must we, Christian bosses, carry out our supervision with fear and trembling. What does that mean? Think back to last week. That's the attitude with which the Apostle Paul carried out his preaching, with fear and trembling. Why? Because he understood that his preaching was of utmost importance. There's nothing more important. So he didn't approach his preaching glibly, as so many preachers do today. He didn't just blurt out whatever half-baked speculations that came to his mind when he taught and preached the gospel. No, he was very, very careful about what he said. And why is that? Because he knew how precious the gospel was. He didn't want to mishandle it. And that's why I read elsewhere in the New Testament that he asked others to pray for his preaching. Because he knew just how important that task was. He approached it with fear and trembling. So too, bosses in the Lord, should we approach our tasks in carrying out our authority with fear and trembling. We have been bestowed with an awesome opportunity to display to our subordinates and to all who see us in the workplace the power of the gospel through our just and fair leadership. No matter our position in the workplace, if we trust in Christ Jesus and are redeemed by His precious blood, we are bond servants of Christ. No one should say, "I'm not a bond servant." We are all bond servants of Christ. Just as bondservants in the ancient world owed their masters obedience in every aspect of their lives, so do we owe Christ our Master obedience in every aspect of our lives. Colossians 3:22. Last week's text. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. That's what they were expected to do. That gives us an idea of what a bondservant is. Bondservants of Christ Jesus, obey in everything. Obey Him in everything, our Master in heaven. And this, of course, includes His will for us in the workplace. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. That means everything that we do. Body. Whatever we do in the body, glorify Him. We're not our own. We're not autonomous. There's no part of our lives that are autonomous from our Lord. We're His. We belong to Him. So glorify God in your body. Have we wondered how we can serve the Lord? Maybe like many Christians, we think serving the Lord means taking up ministry in the church, doing some kind of ministry in the church. We're always looking for ministry opportunities within the church. And that's fine. But this week's and last week's text has made it clear that serving our Lord also takes place in the workplace, through the way we fulfill our responsibilities and tasks. So if we're wondering how we can serve the Lord, we don't necessarily need to right away try to find ministry opportunities in the church. If we're wondering how we can serve the Lord, start with our work. No matter how mundane or thankless our role may be at work, treat it with fear and trembling. Recognize it as an incredible opportunity from the Lord to show the difference His grace and truth produces in our lives through our sincere and heartfelt work. Who knows what kind of impact this will have on those around us. In the words of Martin Lloyd-Jones, "You never know when someone looking on may say, 'This man and this woman are different from others. I've never seen anyone work like this before.'" Maybe we can, you know, we could add there, "Never seen anyone lead like this before. These people seem to be really interested. They are doing their best. What is this?" "My boss seems really interested. He's doing his best. What is this?" And so you may start a train of thought that will eventually lead them to the question, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be like that?" Let's pray. Holy Father, insofar as what has been preach from this pulpit is in keeping with your word, is in accord with your will, whether it relates to those workers who are in the workplace or those who are in authority in the workplace, Lord, we pray that those of us in whom the Spirit of Christ dwells, that we would listen, believe, for all Scripture is breathed out by God. And when we turn to your word, the Holy Scriptures, it's not man who is speaking to us, but God. How often, Lord, as Christians, we're always wondering about the will of our God, when the will of our God is right here before us in our Bibles. It is so practical. If it were practiced by people around the world, it would change the world. So, Holy Father, we pray, Lord God, that we would listen and apply. There, some of us here are, in fact, owners of businesses, bosses, authorities in the workplace. Lord, this is particularly for us. Let us listen. And let us treat those under us justly, fairly. Let us stop our threatenings. Let us give up threatening demeanor, threatening attitude. Let us be respectful, courteous at all times, no matter who our workers may be. And so, Lord God, we pray that whether we are workers or authorities in the workplace, we are all bondservants of Christ Jesus. And so we pray, Lord God, that we would carry out our tasks with fear and trembling, recognizing how important it is. We spend so much time at work. How could it not be important to your glory? And so we pray we would carry it out as you direct us to, that we would work with sincerity and with our whole heart, and that we would lead justly and fairly. And when people see that, they will be amazed, and it may lead to a train of thought that will eventually come to the question, how can I be like that? What do I need to be saved? And so in that way, Lord God, we are preparing people's hearts for your blessed gospel. And so now, Lord God, we pray your blessing on this message for your glory and for the transformation of your people, the church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.